Good evening, everyone. And it's great to be here with everyone. I'm going to try putting this on and turning it on here. So if it doesn't work, we will turn it off here. Maybe I should ask Dwayne for advice if he's around on how to use this. But tonight, I wanted to do two things. First is encourage us in our daily walk relating to the Great Commission. I'm just going to keep this off. Too much trouble. It'll end up falling off, or knowing me, I'll knock it off with my hand and it'll make a loud bang. So tonight I wanted to do two things. One is encourage us as it relates to the Great Commission and the instructions and commands that Jesus gave us as he left this earth to his disciples and his apostles. And second is related to a line item that you might have seen on our anniversary Sunday contribution. It was just labeled ictus. Now, some of you might have tried to be like, wow, what is this? And it was missing a word, so there's a little typo in there, but it should have been labeled Ictus Digital, which is a ministry that I'm starting to focus on reaching the lost on the internet in a way that the church honestly has not done and is not doing as effective as we could be with the greatest message we have. So there's two parts, is one, our own encouragement, and then two, is just introducing you to the purpose of Ichthus Digital and the vision that we can achieve in the church in bringing the lost in where they are. So let's go ahead and go to the, wait, let's see if this works. Is it the green button? Green button. All right, I'm hitting the wrong one. Good. All right, we'll just let's go back to there. Let's go to the all right, we're good. So starting with the Great Commission. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mount to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And we all know about doubting Thomas. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And that's the promise that Jesus gave us. And "go therefore," I underline because it implies action. He calls us to action and going forth into the world to make disciples. Let's go to the next slide. Then God, through his divine plan, everything didn't just happen to be in place. God had been working through history. And when Peter gives the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, we see what he says there. "Men of Israel, you hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know," reminding him of everything that they've seen and heard. "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." And again, underlined there is, "this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God." So God knew this was going to happen. He set this forth before the beginning of the world. And everything that has come into place in history has led to this point. Next slide, please. So the placement of Jerusalem was no accident. And then there's things that happened before this that have led to it. And Alexander the Great is one of these. Was a great conqueror, and I'm sure many of us here know about him. If you don't, you can go look it up online. But he conquered a large part of the ancient world, uniting language, uniting transportation, uniting culture. So there was a lot of things, although he was not a good man, he was not a Christian, did not live to the standards that we would consider godly in the least bit, God used him to be part of accomplishing his will. The Roman Empire to the west of Jerusalem provided more of that security. They were occupied Jerusalem at the time. The Parthian Empire to the east. So again, another major empire that as Alexandria had broken up was still there. And then we had Egypt to the south. And all of those countries, the crossroad was Jerusalem, and that was no accident. God was preparing the world to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ for that time. Next. This is a map just to give us a picture here. Jerusalem right there with a little yellow star around it, just to give us that visual of how Jerusalem literally was the crossroads between the Roman Empire, the Parthian Empire, and the Egyptian country to the south. And we hear, when we saw in Acts, about all the traveling that was done, the Ethiopian eunuch, so much, and even the day of Pentecost, everybody was there in Jerusalem because of the way God had planned this, the way he had led the Israelites to be in the promised land. It wasn't just because, hey, this is a nice land, you know, maybe it'll be great scenery. He had a purpose in having them there. Next slide. So the apostles used God's opportunity. So God did all of this work throughout history, working with man, and they were able to freely travel around the region on roads, very established roads. They were able to travel on ships, and it was all organized and established because of all of this that had happened in history. And then they were able to preach Jesus relevant to their audience. So then Paul went to the synagogues, and starting in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. Peter, you know, preaches his sermon, the tongues of fire, the sound of a rushing wind, drawing people together. We see all throughout Acts, God using miracles and extraordinary events to get the attention of everybody around them. And then reasoning in the synagogues. Every time Paul would go to a new city, that's the first place we would see he would go, is go to the synagogues and reason with the Jews. And when he was converted in Acts chapter 9, he started reasoning in the synagogues and confounding them, proving that Jesus was the Christ. And then the reasoning in the marketplaces of the Gentiles, Acts 17, one of my favorite scenes in one of Paul's journeys, where he's in Athens, surrounded by idols, surrounded by temple worship, surrounded by immoral activity, philosophers who do nothing but, you know, listening to things that are new. And he goes to their marketplace and he preaches the gospel there in a way that's relevant to them, quoting their poets and giving a message saying, hey, you know what? That altar you have to an unknown God, I'm going to declare him to you today as the living God who does not dwell in temples made by hands, who does not require your gold or your silver. So depending on the audience, he would preach the gospel, never changing the truth. It was always repent. It was always believe. It was always be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Remain faithful to him. Put your faith in him. So nothing changed about the core of the message, but the way it was delivered would change based on who he was talking to. Next slide. So when we start thinking about the way God prepared it, and we see those examples in Acts, we start thinking about our world today, our digital world. Raise your hand if you have a phone on you in here. You've got a lot of hands up. That's right, the phone. And studies, you know, some of the research we've done has shown that there's about, the phone is actually about the sixth most used feature on a phone today. Most people are using it for internet, email, and a whole bunch of other stuff, but the phone is actually the sixth most used feature. But the way that Alexander, Romans, Parthians connected the ancient world, bits, bytes, and what I call points of light are connecting our modern world, and God is at work to accomplish his will then, and I believe that he has put this in his place to accomplish his will now. Next slide. So who can, this is, you can go ahead and call out, this will be a pop quiz. What proper noun is used frequently as a verb? Can anybody say, tell me? Google, that's right. Thank you, Tom. Google, and even my 8-year-old daughter, Maria, the other day, she's like, can you go Google this? Or my children would say, can you go Google that? I'm like, wow, I didn't even, you know, when I was her age, I didn't even know what that was, you know. they were still, barely had been invented yet. But it's such a term that it's becoming part of our language that we've taken a proper noun and used it as a verb, is go Google that. Next slide. And another picture here might be kind of small up there, but in 2005, this is a picture of the inauguration of the Pope at the Vatican, and just really draws home the way our world changed. We know it's changing. We know we're more digital, but this picture shows in 2005 versus 2013, and how our world is really changing to that one-on-one with devices, and people are having them around all the time. And go to the next slide, please. And secular businesses are trying to connect their message. That's what marketing is connecting that message to people. And the question for us is, are we doing all we can to connect those seeking truth with the message of Jesus Christ? And are we meeting people literally where they are in the marketplace, just like Paul did in Athens, just like he did everywhere he went? Are we connecting? Are we reaching people with that message where they are? 93%. When most people pull up their browser to get online, 93% of them start with a search. And most of those searches actually happen to happen in Google. Some people use Bing, some people use Yahoo, but most of them start in Google. Let's go to the next slide. 42% of the world's population is online. That's 3.08 billion people. That's a lot of people online. Now, the other argument is, yes, we have now 58%. I can do my math on the fly here. 58% that are not online, so yes. So as I'm going through this, it's not, you know, downplaying, it's not reducing the importance of reaching the poor or the people who are not connected, but it's making sure we're trying to explore all the areas that we can connect to people who are searching. Let's go to the next slide. So 86% of North America is online. That's 314 million people. So these might be stats that you've been familiar with over time, maybe have heard before, but what I want us to do on the next is to actually think about one. Looking and thinking about one who is searching. Literally, when people are searching in Google, the way we talk about it at my company, when we're working with health insurance companies, they're the hand raisers. They're saying, hey, I'm looking for health insurance. I want something that's affordable, or I want something that has great coverage. They're literally raising their hand. And so what we want to do is thinking about the people who are raising their hand to say, I want to know more about life. I hear this about Christianity. I hear this about Jesus. I want to know more. They're literally raising their hand by what they search. Let's go to the next slide. So what I did is I looked at three search themes. And a search theme, even though I have up here how to become a Christian, is there life after death, and what is the purpose of life, there's a whole lot of variations of different words and phrases that could happen under that. But what we do is we call it a theme. So what I wanted to do is explore three of these themes that people use to search for topics of spiritual importance. And this isn't the extent of them, but it's a good example of what is out there and what the need is. So on how to become a Christian, we see 2,500 searches on average happen each month. And the pure message of obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ is nowhere to be found. And I don't know if you can read these words, and maybe I should have taken them a little bit bigger. But if you click on some of these results, the one over here on the left, are you ready to become a Christian? If your answer to these three questions are yes, simply place your faith, your trust in Jesus as your Savior, receive Him by faith, trusting in Him alone. That's all it takes to become a Christian. And what I like to joke is, click the button to accept Jesus as your Savior. I don't see that back in Acts. Did anybody see that back there? I haven't seen it. And then over here from our friends at the Southern Baptist Convention is a good example of the Lord's Prayer. Just pray this prayer, mean it in your heart, accept Jesus as your Savior, and that's it. No call to obedience like we see in the Gospel of Christ. And so that's how to become a Christian. Let's go to the next one. And what is the purpose of life? And the first thing that came up there was a picture of the Big Bang and the evolution theory. And so we get a lot of confusing ideas and teachings. We see that over there on the right side, Mormons are actually purchasing ad space. So really, there's when people are searching for the meaning of life, they're getting a lot of Wikipedia and evolution. And the Mormons are there. And there might be some more down there, but it just gets more buried and buried and buried. And of course, I could ask for a raise of hands on this one. If you're looking for something in Google, do you search past the first page? And usually the answer is no. You don't go past that first page. If you're not on that first page, you're not existent, and people aren't going to find you. People aren't going to find that message that you're trying to get across. Let's look at one more here. What happens after death? So 35,000 searches on average each month for this search theme. Again, we see the Mormons have purchased ads. I call out Got Questions there. That's a site that shows up in a lot of different topics. But they again, they're the ones that had the button to accept Jesus. And again, the true calling of obedience, obedient faith to Jesus is not presented anywhere here. And so you get a nice little site from the Mormons. And if we go to the next slide, and if you're searching, you might find the truth. So this is an example of Bible.ca. And I think it's a member of the church who has put together a site. And he's got great information, great links. And sometimes when I searched to get this page, I was searching, should I be baptized? Was what I searched for. And he was actually on the first page, I think three results down in Google. But so sometimes the truth is found, but it's buried in heavy text. And most people in our world today on their phones, they're going from one thing to the next. If a page doesn't load fast enough, if they don't find what they're looking for right away, if they're like, I'm going to have to really kind of dig through this, they will go on to somewhere else. And that opportunity could be lost. Because all those truths that is there, they might have potentially a heart to seeking. Just the behavior that's ingrained in us to, I don't really see it, I'm going to bounce away. I don't see it, I'm going to bounce away. Okay, this is interesting, I'm going to kind of spend some time here. That gets lost and is not presented in a very effective way. Go to the next. So from these three search themes, 1.4 million searches happen over the course of a year for just these three. And none of them on the first page that at least I was able to find. Now, maybe if you went out and you searched and tried maybe search something a little different, you could maybe find one or two here or there. So it just depends. But from what I was able to find is none of them present an opportunity to hear the full truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who are searching, people who want to know how to become a Christian, and they're not hearing the simple words that Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and the promises for you and your children. Nobody hears that. Nobody hears the simple truth of the gospel. Let's go to the next slide. But Mormons do have one good idea. And I don't want this to catch you off guard, but their one good idea is the way that they do approach digital marketing. Their doctrine is way off. A little interesting here. If you do have time, they have a video out here about the Book of Mormon as a book of scripture, and it's really neat and animated. It makes you feel all like, oh, this is really a book of scripture. Wow. They leave out the fact that it was Joseph Smith in the 1800s, and they leave out the fact that it was magical goggles that came down from angels that were taken back up that nobody can verify or prove or anything like that. But it's catchy. And it looks good, and it's clean, and like when you land on it, oh yeah, if I was, when we saw back there, you were searching for what happens after death? Is there life after death? You land on a page that explains about life after death. Or if you were searching for a Book of Mormon, you'd land on this page that talks about the Book of Mormon. So they do have one good idea, is the way that they're approaching reaching people searching on the internet. Let's go to the next slide. So they do right by having visible search results. We saw that in the ads there that they had. Clean and simple. Message relevant to the search that I just talked about. Clear communication. An obvious what we call a call to action. So you could click to receive a free copy of the Book of Mormon. You could click to chat with somebody about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They had a little engaging video. And ways to measure it. Because that's one important thing when you're dealing with online and getting people somewhere is to make sure you're efficient. If we're losing the Lord's money to invest and spend and get people there, we want to make sure that, all right, we got them there the most effectively, using it in the most effective ways. Let's go to the next slide. So the Mormons are doing it, but the true church, the Church of Jesus Christ, should be using the best digital marketing practices to reach the lost with the best message ever written in the history of the world. And that's what marketing is. It's reaching people with the message you want to communicate. And we have that best message. We should be using the best methods to reach them. Let's go to the next slide. So as we talk about the mission of Ictus Digital, sum it up, to reach the lost in a digital world using the digital marketing talents and technology God has provided to His church. And it's that simple. God has, just like He prepared the ancient world with roads and communication and travel, God has connected the internet using people who would not be considered Christian, people who are, who are probably very immoral, but God inspiring creativity, engineering, what he's placed in man to create things has enabled this world that's got more people in it now than ever before to be able to connect and communicate. Let's go to the next slide. So if I, real quick on some points about Ichthus Digital, core objectives is to first reach the lost, working on initiatives or projects that will help us more effectively reach the lost in the church. Two, strengthen the church, working with local congregations to make sure either their web presence is more effective, they're using methods that might help reach people in their local areas. And when we get towards the end, I'll have an example of things that we're starting to do right here to reach people in Birmingham. And improve ministries and missionaries. So, think about Apologetics Press. They've got enormous opportunity with the amount of content they have, but they're not fully leveraging best practices to make sure people get there. When they get there, if you've been to Apologetics Press website on your phone, it's one of those you have to kind of zoom in on. So I've had some discussions with them about that. And it's making sure that missionaries, our local missionaries who are in the field, have an effective web presence. So say we go and we're going to have a campaign that helps support them. Well, if they're in an area where people have access to the internet, making sure they have a landing page that as our group is there, they have business cards or flyers that have a domain name on, so then when they leave, they could go to that site and have a way to still connect with that missionary who's there on the ground working with the local people, even when we're long gone, because the interest has been generated. So there's a lot of ways we can help the work around the world and in all of our local efforts as well. Go to the next slide. So our resolution is to be present and search for the right term, that hand raiser. They're looking for truth. They're looking for something more. And a relevant message to that person. So if they're searching for, should I be baptized? Landing on something that explains about baptism. If they're searching for, like in the Mormons example, life after death, a page that talks about life after death. So anything they might be searching for, giving them something that's relevant to what they're doing is going to capture their attention. And that engaging experience, so it's not buried in text, connecting them with a Bible study. World Bible School, we've got a lot of online Bible studies, local church or Christian or missionary. And I think that's the important part, that even all of the other sites that we kind of looked at, they don't take an active role in connecting people to a Christian, somebody who can reach out to them and study the Word of God, because that's how people are led to the Lord, is when we each and every one of us take the time to teach and to help make disciples. So that's a critical part, is that they get connected. And then measuring the results to improve the reach. Make sure that we measure it, make sure we're effective in how we spend digital marketing dollars, how we invest in these experiences that would get built out. Go to the next slide. And again, I can't do this alone. So as I've been praying through this over the last year, first is World Bible School has got a great network of teachers who, of Bible studies, of ways that people who are ready to be baptized have a follow-up system. They've got a lot of stuff in place that can be built upon and improved. And other teams that would help with like web design, Christian Web Solution, we've got a local right here in our own church, Jennifer Driscoll, excellent web designer. Hidden Bridge Media, Brandon down in Louisville, does excellent videos. Apologetics Press, they produce great content. And there's a lot more that we could mention here that can write good content, produce good videos. But right now, it's in such siloed places all over the place that there's not a coordinated effort to make sure we're meeting people in search and with something that will help lead them to the truth. If we go to the next slide. And again, just real quick here on World Bible School, if you go to their site, it's very basic and generic, which is good. But there's things that we could do to help improve when people land there, that they get connected with the right kind of Bible study, that maybe change how we do the strategy based on what country they're in. But making sure that we're looking at ways to reach people more effectively. And what we want to do is making sure that people are getting exposed to Jesus, that they're getting exposed to the Bible in a way that will help lead them to Christ, that they'll obey. Let's go to the next slide. So kind of going back through all of this, our responsibility to God's opportunity, and this is a quote that Brandon Edwards posted on Facebook a couple months ago, and it really caught me and stood out that I wanted to bring it here. Paul would have been on Twitter. Peter would have been the webmaster of the local Jerusalem church. John would have lovingly filled your Instagram feed with 1,000 pictures of God's love. The apostles understood the need to go into all the world however they could go. Now go and preach and make disciples. And that's how our world has changed. The message hasn't changed. It's still the same. But the way we can communicate it has changed. The way that people receive it in the marketplace has changed. The way that they think, the way they behave, that's changing all the time. And we need to keep up with it. Go to the next slide. And so our responsibility is the Great Commission is for all of us. And you know, this idea of Ictus Digital has just been my culmination of you know, 12, 13 years now in the industry, where I've struggled with, you know, how do I use my talent to be the most effective in reaching the lost, and not thinking that, you know, what I'm working on every day, when we're in our jobs, we want to make sure what we're doing is we're working for the Lord, not for men. So we produce good things, we do good programming, whatever you might do in your occupation, we still try to do the best we can do. We have coworkers around us that can, you know, be open and receptive to our example and an opportunity there. But as I got to, you know, thinking through just in praying about how I could use my talents, this is one aspect I saw, is to encourage and build the church in this way. So, but the Great Commission is for all of us, for the youngest of us here who have put on Christ in baptism, to the oldest. No matter what we are, where we are, who we are in life, that's our responsibility, is the Great Commission and taking the opportunity God has created for us. So we have World Bible School. That's one thing we've heard about. You know, we have Bible study tracts that are in paper. You know, some people do respond better to be handed a piece of paper. Some people respond better to do that. And we have digital marketing tools. But ultimately, we have to take the action. And one thing that I mentioned at the beginning were some of these World Bible Study cards. And I know we only have about 20 teachers, I think, that have registered for World Bible School. But these cards right here have a web address called Study the Bible With Me. And you don't actually have to be registered if you know, for some reason you have a hard time getting on the internet, or it's just might not be a way that you effectively communicate with people. You can still take these cards and pass them out. And when they come to that address, they'll get registered under our account, so people who are here in the congregation will have a chance to study the Bible with them. And another thing we have running is our web ad. So people who search for, right now it's just kind of words around Bible study, they can come and register. And when we register, we are the ones that have the chance to study the Bible with them, people right here in our local area. So through cards, through web ads that we're running, everybody here has a chance to touch somebody and to share Jesus and get them connected with somebody here who will study the Bible with them through World Bible School. And again, the call for all of us is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And that's our call tonight. So first, if we are a Christian, think about what's in your life that's tangling you up. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author reminds us to throw off all the sin that easily entangles us and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And when we let sin creep in our lives, I'll be the first to admit, it starts creating self-doubt. Like, oh, I don't know if I can tell my coworkers about this because I was joking this with them, inappropriately with them sometime. They might see me as a hypocrite. So when sin creeps into our life and we let it sit there, it makes us ineffective because we fear and we have doubt and we have guilt. So we need to throw that off. And like I said, me being the first to say, I've got issues in my life I need to work on always throwing off and reminding myself. And ultimately, if you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel of our Jesus Christ, why not tonight? Why not arise and be baptized and call on his name and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, promise of eternal life? Because I guarantee you, if you take another night and you say, ah, not tonight. I'm just going to wait one more night, or maybe I want to study a little bit more, or maybe I just don't think I know enough. I'm not a good enough person. The more you say no to the Spirit calling you, to God calling you, the easier it becomes to say no. And eventually it'll be too late. And me saying that, that's how I was at 14. I had continued to say no and no, and it just got easier and easier, and I just kind of delayed and delayed and delayed and put it off. So it got to a point that it was very concerning, because I was very hard to it. So I encourage you, if you are not taken that step, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not tonight? If you're a Christian here, throw off that sin that easily entangles you, and let us all work together on obeying the great commission that Jesus gave us back at the beginning of his church. If you have any needs to respond, would you do so as we stand and as we sing?